You're listening to the podcast from King's Cross Church in Charleston, South Carolina. We're glad you're here. If you'd like to learn more about our church or want to know how to get involved, visit kingscross.org. We pray that as you listen, you experience the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Good morning, everyone. I'm just thankful that when you heard Chip wasn't preaching today, you didn't walk out. So it really does my heart well to know you're still here. I am grateful to be the pastoral resident here at the church, to have the opportunity to lead our men's ministry, as well as be one of the faces at our first-time guest area. I will tell you that I'm experimenting with something new. Normally, I have a very close manuscript that I hold to like my security blanket, but Chip told me to jump into the 21st century and maybe try to use an iPad. So you have a high-tech redneck pastor today that's going to try things out. But should the devil try to get into technology, I have my manuscript and my security blanket right here. I am so grateful that each of you are worshiping with us today. We are back in our series through the book of Philippians. It's been Paul's letter to the Philippian church over the past several weeks, and I have really just enjoyed digging in to the series. If you dig a little bit deeper into Philippi, you'll see that Charleston and Philippi have some commonalities. Both are busy seaports and have deep religious histories. There's this wide diversity of people that are either visiting or immigrating to both places from across the country and the world. And this melting pot of cultures just offers a celebration of God's creation and his image of himself, but unfortunately through sin it's distorted and can be used as a wedge at times, not only in our country but throughout the world. Now, our fairly young church has been a welcome center for unbeliever and believer alike. And God, I believe, is setting a stage for us to be an even better church for our community. And I am excited to see it all unfold alongside with you. Now, if you missed last week, please make the time to watch Pastor Chip's sermon on Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to pick up at 12 and go into chapter 4, verse 1. But Chip told us about Paul's concerns for the Philippians and their understanding of the gospel, because there was this confusion both within and outside the church. You had these two groups. You had the Judaizers that said, well, it's Jesus, but you also have to be circumcised. That's a mandate. And then you had these Gnostics who said, well, it could be Jesus, but you also can develop your own certain level of knowledge to reach perfection. And both of these were kind of like this Jesus and mentality to salvation. And Paul is going, no. I know that you're pushing and trying to divide against this belief, but it's in Jesus Christ alone. Paul reminded the Philippian church about two things against these attacks. Chip brought them up last week. Strengths can be weaknesses, and losses can be gains. But the thing that I was most intrigued, although your whole sermon was intriguing, was a question that he gave and challenged each of us. It was this: what in our life would we not give up to know Christ and the power that resurrected him from the dead? What in our life would we not give up to know Christ and the power that resurrected him from the dead? Now, as I thought about that question this week, I realized that the more truly that I know Christ and who he is, the more it impacts my understanding, my appreciation of my salvation, and then offers me an ability to press into this life with more of an eternal mindset instead of a more temporal one. And that's what Paul wanted for the Philippians too. And he's concerned that they might even be questioning their own salvation. And I wonder if some of us may even do the same. So in today's text, Paul shows us what knowing Christ and his power looks like, and he drives home that the more we know Jesus, the more we realize our biblical truth today. Salvation is just the beginning. Salvation is just the beginning. Open your Bibles and follow with me in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 1. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, the power that enables him even to subject all things to him. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Now, in 11 verses of our text, Paul says, God, Lord, Savior, Jesus, and Jesus Christ 11 times just in these 11 verses. In the entire letter of Philippians, he references Jesus alone 37 times. So we're talking like a third of the time he is bringing up Jesus in just 11 verses. Now, remember that these letters were generally read out loud in public in one sitting. Remember also, too, that this is coming from a man that was literally imprisoned and chained to a Roman praetorial guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he's still communicating Jesus Christ on the daily. And it got me wondering, like, how many times in our daily interactions within our spheres of influence does Jesus Christ just come forth in our conversations? Like, I want to press into a relationship with God that imitates Paul, too, don't you? So my desire and my hope are to encourage each of us to press into whatever our existing understanding of who God is today and be transformed into a better relational one today. But we've got to come to a place where we understand that salvation is just the beginning. There are three applications in this text that Paul directs the Philippians to support our biblical truth. Press on into the now. Press on into the not yet. And then lastly, stand firm on his terms. Now I understand within this space right now, there are some of you who know exactly who God is in your life. Praise the Lord. There are some of you who are like, who is God? But then there are a few who have totally misunderstood who God is in your life. And as we walk through this text, God's word will possibly throw some uppercuts and some jabs and a holy haymaker to knock you out on where you are in your relationship to God today. I know because I've been battered and bruised while I've been wrestling with this for over a month. But the good news is wherever we are in that spectrum, I can assure you that Jesus Christ is awaiting to grab you right where you are and make you his own. Look at verses 12 through 16 again on how our salvation allows us to press on in the now. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, from the outside looking in, you could look at Paul and go, man, that's a first ballot Hall of Famer in heaven, no doubt. But in his transparency, and even in his humility, while professing Christ for over 30 years of his life at this point, he basically said in this text, I have not arrived. Christ is not finished with me yet. Earlier, I mentioned two groups that were pushing this Jesus and mentality in order to be saved or perfect in their own eyes. Hear me clearly. Perfection, though, doesn't reside within this sinful world. Our view of perfection doesn't even match the heaven-bound, God-ordained perfection that is awaiting us when we see him someday. Hebrews 12:2 says this, that we must be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and that he's seated at the right hand of his throne of God. It's not Jesus and. It's just Jesus. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we are asking Jesus to grab hold of us and make us his own right now. Jesus isn't someone that we can grab onto and then put him back in the, in case of emergency, break glass, Jesus box. John Piper said this pertaining to verse 12 of our text. Our security is not based finally on our grip of Jesus, but his grip on us. The crucial thing to see is that the firmness of Christ's grip on us produces our pursuit of him and him alone. Our salvation through Jesus Christ isn't the end, it is just the beginning. But there is something or someone in your life right now that has a grip on you, and it is consuming our every existence. And it is pushing us towards either a goal that is fleeting or eternal. Upon giving his life to Christ on the road to Damascus and following Christ's call on his life, Paul wasn't looking back and just sitting on his laurels and accomplishments. He compared everything in his life from last week, if you'll remember, to raw sewage compared to knowing Christ and pressing into a relationship with him every day. J.I. Packer said, God sees more corruption in me than I see in myself, which is enough. This is enough to worship him because he still wants to be my friend, and he gave his son to die for that purpose. And when Jesus Christ is our life and not just in our life, he is our goal right now. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. If you don't hear anything else, hear this, what I'm about to say. There is absolutely nothing in this world that will ever give us satisfaction that even compares to the forgiveness, the repentance, and redemption of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. Nothing. So as we press into knowing Christ more now, there's this hunger and this thirst to want to grow more like him. Paul uses words in our text that says pressing on and straining forward. He's obviously not a mattress salesman. These aren't words of comfort in the race for the upward call of God. We're being warned of battle scars and obstacles which may come by falling from our own temptations or from temptations from others. And we can also be encouraged to continually look up as well as walk together in becoming who he wants us to be. Paul said in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure, not yours. And God is active in one's life right now. He's not passive. And we aren't neutral in our relationship with God. We are either children of the King or we are enemies of the cross of Christ. Jesus said this to the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Right now is our opportunity to assess whether our professed relationship with God is in alignment to who we are actually living for. He either has a grip on us or he doesn't. Where are we right now? And let's be really clear. We're either giving unbelievers a justification to not pursue Christ at all, or we're giving convictions to pursue him for the very first time. Let me also remind you that those believers that are within your life could be the very people who live with you, not just work and play with you. And I am so convicted by his grip on my life that I refuse to let you walk out of these doors without knowing who God really is in your life. This decision not only affects the right now, it will also affect your immediate, and it will most certainly affect your eternal future. Follow with me in verses 17 through 21. It says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. For many of you, Paul is not only encouraging us to just press on to the now, but also press on to the not yet. Now, if you look at verse 17, you're like, that doesn't sound like a very, very humble dude that's saying, hey, look at me, imitate me. But he's also referring to Timothy and Epaphroditus, where he sets a direction for our lives in Philippians 1. He says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come or see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in the Spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened by anything by your opponents. And this is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Now, as we pursue Christ, do we have anyone like a Paul or a Timothy or an Epaphroditus to teach or lead or even imitate? We are not called to know God and share the gospel alone. Paul uses us and side by side for the faith. And this is why it's so important for connecting in community through studying the Word of God, whether in our community groups or grow groups regularly, because God is not finished with us yet. We are inundated by the world's temptations, including our own temptations, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're foolish to think that 1 hour on a Sunday is going to be our best defense, much less a strong relationship with the creator of the cosmos. Now, many of you may think that I'm like this gospel Pop-Tart. I'm ready to go share Jesus any and all times. I am not. Y'all not going to remember anything else but that. It's fine. I sincerely appreciate your trust in me, in my preparation, in my delivery in today's sermon. I am a fallen person. I will make mistakes, and I need your strength in studying God's word to ensure that biblical accuracy happens all the time. I need equipping also. And I am so grateful for many of you that are in here that helped me prepare and deliver this sermon today, but also to become a godly man, a godly husband, a godly father, and a godly neighbor for those who may not know Christ yet. And there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We need to be pressed. We need to be held accountable in our pursuit of knowing God and His power. Otherwise, your pursuit may be in vain. Paul doesn't hold anything back in 18 and 19. Many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory, their shame, with minds on earthly things. I was talking to two people, I believe in this. There are some people who label themselves as pastors that are solely interested in financial gain and power. And their ability to quote the word is incredible. But there will always be something about their interpretation that just doesn't seem right, just as it was in Philippi. And as Ronald Reagan once quoted, trust but verify. These people are either full of the gospel or they're full of something else that Paul and Chip discussed last week, and I'm not getting into the details. This verse isn't only intended for false pastors. It's also written for false followers of Christ. And Paul is very clear of what you're not yet is if you are not a child of God. And so I want to reiterate my question from Chip last week and in this sermon. What in our life would we not give up to know Christ and the power that resurrected him from the dead? Let's put some real teeth on that question about giving up something and even a decision today. Chip discussed having 4 services on Easter Sunday and then moving into 3 services afterwards. And when you heard that, did we honestly go, as another thing? Or did you honestly look at the not yet as salvation's professed? Marriages reconciled, addictions overcome, baby dedications, and baptism celebrated in the night yet. Let's dig a little deeper. For those who profess Christ in their lives, do you understand that someone made that same commitment for you so that they could pour into you to bring you to where you are today? Let's look outside Future Worship Service and look at who you actually worship. For those of us who don't know Christ yet, you are here specifically to know Christ today. And I'm so glad to have the honor to share it with you today. Paul's foretelling of your potential not yet future should terrify you. My heart is broken if you're walking as an enemy of the cross of Christ in the not yet. Because God's wrath is no joke. He is holy, and we aren't. But I don't hate you. I love you as Christ loved me, and he grabbed me from his wrath to save me. I was once like you too. And we have prayed for you prior to even entering this worship service, and even prayed within this sanctuary, visualizing you in your exact seat. There is someone right now specifically praying for this entire worship service and specifically for you. Don't leave this place without becoming one of Christ's own. What does that look like? Well, verse 20 of our text speaks into some of this some more. It says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, our citizenship is in heaven. And this trumps any of the American ideals that aren't in alignment with the kingdom of God. We can't look into our country's issues as a Republican or a Democrat, a progressive or conservative, or a red state or a blue state. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, period, full stop. And we celebrate diversity, and we sacrifice our own selfish, sinful interest for his interest for the lost in every single sense of the term. We seek the heart of Jesus, not the color of someone's skin. We seek the eternal security for every walk of life. Colossians 1:16 through 17 says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." It is very easy to dive into the chaotic busyness of this world and be enveloped with fear and hatred and anxiety and depression. And despite all this chaos, there is still order, because in him all things hold together. Amen? See, you didn't, like I told you, Chip, you're going to regret that. If you know that, then why are you getting all stirred and spun up on social media and in the news today? As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we know that he will return someday and bring a new heaven and a new earth. Friends, it's King Jesus, that's it. We don't need a flag, we don't need a cross around our neck to showcase Jesus Christ. Believers of the King exude him on the daily, and it is described in 1 Corinthians as this: "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. And whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and you believed." He should be reflected within our heart, mind, and soul every day of what will come. And as great as our reflection is right now, it pales in comparison to when he returns. To transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Paul's saying, look, salvation is just the beginning. And our best selves are just mere glimpses of what he has created us to be. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, the Holy Spirit lives within us and makes us a new creation. And although not yet perfect, we pursue our Savior and embrace his promises to become fully like him someday, as well as our world will be someday. But our salvation not only allows us to press into the right now and into the not yet, but we've got to stand firm on his terms, not ours. We don't negotiate God in our life. Paul's last direction to his brothers and sisters in Philippi highlighted this in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. That one sentence just oozes love for a diverse group of people from a transformed human being through Jesus Christ alone. This love is coming from someone that used to pursue, torture, and even kill some of them friends because he thought they were absolutely heretical and crazy. And now all Paul wants is to encourage and to love them, calling them my joy and my crown. There is none of this possible without Paul exchanging his old life for the one that Christ called him to be. Paul stood firm in what J.I. Packer said, the more conscious we are of our physical, mental, and spiritual inferiority, the more we feel that our part is simply to attend to this person, God, and just let him take the initiative in the conversation. Paul had a good conversation with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city and you will be told what you are about to do. He wasn't only blinded by his own intelligence, he got physically blinded until Jesus gave his sight back. God is still active in transforming people into his original design for them. We have received the first call, and it was the invitation into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it has either been accepted or rejected. And if we rejected his call into our lives, then there's this sense of outrage and even pity maybe for us crazy Christians. And maybe just a need just to vehemently oppose whoever this God is. So if you're in that predicament, I have one question for you. If you are so adamantly opposed to this idea of this so-called ghost in the sky, why would you even waste your time in arguing and mocking believers? Surely you got better things to do, right? But it's because the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to you. It is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of your soul and your spirit, and even your joints and marrow, and discerning those thoughts in your mind and those intentions of your heart. Now, I understand that some of you may be uncomfortable with these words today. Good. Press into that discomfort. Seek out what God is calling you to be and what he wants you to do on his terms, not yours. Some of you may also be thinking, yeah, man, but my past and even today, like I couldn't stand people on Clements Ferry. It's driving me nuts. And I got to get that cleaned up before giving my life to Christ. That's just the devil running you on a fool's errand, friend. You can't clean it up enough. Our past, our present, and our future are exactly what needs to be cleaned up, but Jesus Christ is the only one to clean it up for eternity. And he is just calling you right now to do just that. As I was walking my neighborhood earlier this week and wrestling with conveying how to stand firm on his terms, the song Love of God by Phil Wickham and Brandon Lake came to mind. And I want to share one verse in one chorus which captures this sermon and our next step. It sings, God's love, it's so kind, it leads us to repentance. It's so bright that the darkness has to flee. Hallelujah. I cleared my guilty conscience. For I was bound, but now I stand redeemed. For what can break the chains of any prison? What force could rob the power from the grave? What would trade my rags for heaven's riches? Only the love of God. Oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on that old rugged cross. And for all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. To know God is to know His love for us. To know His love for us, we can't help but love Him back. I pray that we allow Him to love us for the first time or to bring us back to Him. Let's pray. Oh, for the love of God, we come before You. Wherever we are in our relationship or lack of relationship with You, and seek Your presence. May You grab us and make us Your own. Whatever obstacles, whatever sin, whatever our misperceptions of You are, Father, may we leave this at the altar today and become Yours once and for all. Father, You make no mistakes. You brought each of these people to hear Your word, and I pray that it will persist and wrestle within their mind, heart, and soul until they come to You directly and say, I am Yours. May You be glorified in that. May their spheres of influence see that. And may many come to Christ because of the decision that they make today. To God be the glory forever and ever. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
My name's Josh. I'm the associate pastor here at King's Cross Church. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Take a moment to subscribe, and you'll get each week's message automatically. We invite you to join us as we grow in the gospel, connect in community, and live on mission. May the grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.